Your source for cruise news and planning. From Royal to Disney, this is Rope Drop on Deck.
Welcome aboard to another Rope Drop on Deck. I am Doug McKnight, and I'm here with Michelle McKnight. And Michelle, it's been a crazy couple of weeks.
It has. We are finishing up the speech season. We coach the high school speech team, if you haven't listened to any other episodes. Otherwise, you probably know that already, because we kind of bore people with that.
But yeah, it's been a long season.
Kind of our life right now. We can't really cruise, because we are deep in the middle of speech season.
Committed to high school academic competitions.
Yes, but we had our district competition last weekend, and so we qualified 6 team members to state. So we will be traveling to our state competition this week, which includes like a hotel and everything. So
fancy.
We are big time now, I think.
We're on the scene for real. So send us the positive vibes as we go compete. And our own 2 children made it. That's the real exciting part.
I'm more actually excited. I mean, we coached the other people.
Yes, we did.
Our kids have the genes.
Yeah, they're genetically engineered to do speech, so there's no excuse for them not making it.
So we apologize for not, you know, having an episode last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, or I can't even remember when we posted another one.
About 2 weeks.
Yeah. So give us a couple more weeks and we'll wrap up speech season.
We'll be back to it.
Actually, we're going to Nationals in May, so
we'll see. So Nationals hosted all over the country every year, and this year, so we live in Plattsmouth, Nebraska. If you need to Google that, go for it. It's not exciting, but Plattsmouth, Nebraska, on the mouth of the Platte River. And Speech Nationals are in Bellevue, Nebraska, not Washington.
No. This is about 12 minutes away.
Door to door, to the school. Yeah.
So anyway.
Not Orlando.
So we're going
not
to Nationals.
Chicago.
But it's not going to be near as much time as the meets we go to every weekend. So anyway, that's what we've been up to.
All right, on to cruising. Today we're going to talk about the DCL itinerary release for the summer of 25. The long-awaited, is that a correct term?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was pretty much right on where the other...
Was it?
Yeah, it's maybe a week or two off, but it's been later, so...
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to talk about it and hear your take on the summer of 25, because there's, you know, a new island to put into the mix, kind of. It only has half of this summer. I mean, it's not an island, actually. It's a peninsula, but semantics. New destination, privately. Okay, anyway. On to the Apple Podcast review. If you want to support the show, leave a 5-star review. If you don't want to leave a 5-star review, just email us. Tell us what you don't like. You don't need to air it out there for everybody to see. Anyway,
we won't read it. So.
We're not reading it. No, you're right. All right. So here we go. A 5-star review titled Doug's Correct Pronunciation. Now, that is something that I'm not used to hearing, Michelle. So I really appreciate this review. And it's by Amber B.A. And that's B spelled out, B-E-E-A, not B-A, like Bachelor's of Arts. It's Amber B-A. So, all right. 5 stars for Doug's pronunciation of Louisville on episode 54. As someone from Louisville, Kentucky, I can confirm that he pronounced it correctly. Louisville, not Louisville. So, there you go. And when I was in Louisville, I was instructed to say it as if my mouth was full of marbles. So that's how I learned how to say Louisville.
And we have Louisville.
Right next door.
Next to us.
It's the neighboring town. Louisville.
Literally Louisville. We can't call it Louisville.
I call it Louisville when I want to annoy the people that live in Louisville. Yeah. Which sometimes comes in handy. So thank you, Amber, for the wonderful review. And we're up to like 90-ish reviews. So
thank you very much.
We'll see who pushes us over that 100 mark. All right. On to everyone's favorite part of the show, the words of the day. Michelle, today the words of the day is fish extenders.
Yes, we had a request from a listener. So Lauren requested, not Lauren Shields, the travel agent, Lauren Jamber, a listener, asked us to define fish extenders because it's not really a common thing on most cruise lines. So
it's a Disney. And yeah, since we're doing DCL release, it makes sense today.
Yes. Fish extenders are hanging gift bags, usually embroidered, with the names of the family members traveling together that are hung from small metal fish, used as mailboxes to receive info and dinner invitations by the cabin stewards, located next to the cabin doors. Passengers enter Secret Santa-style drawings, usually organized through Disney message boards or Facebook, and deliver small gifts to the other people in their group.
easily the longest definition you've ever done. For
I mean, obviously it's not from Webster, right? I mean,
darn you, Webster.
Yeah.
So fish extender, like you make a family like mailbox thing that hangs down from the little fishy that's next to your door.
They don't have to be embroidered either, don't.
I mean, no, why?
We've seen lots of different styles.
I would just get some envelopes and a magic marker and call it a day. Anyway, you sign up on Facebook groups, which we love Facebook groups, and you put stuff
that was
in.
Sarcastic. I don't know that we've really talked about it on this show, but we do the Facebook groups,
love
but
them.
We don't take the advice from them because
I correct the advice and I usually get put in Facebook jail.
Yeah.
Anywho. So you get like put in a group with like 9 other people and like you go put stuff in theirs, they come put stuff in yours. And do we do fish extenders, Michelle?
So we did them once.
Mm-hmm.
And that was enough for us.
We're good.
Because we, one, don't have extra room to pack in our luggage because I overpack.
What? Wait, you admitted that on, recorded that.
Sure.
I'm going to use that clip forever.
I overpack because I want to be prepared.
Uh-huh.
See? I'm like a Boy Scout, always prepared. Anyway, we did it once. We got not so great things and like things we'll never use again. So we don't do it anymore. So, yeah, that's our, we got a little bunch of trinkets that we can't do anything with and we're more about using the money for experiences. So.
This is a word I want to use to describe all the stuff we got.
I don't know either.
It was
junk?
Crap. Okay. Crap. We got a bunch of crap and then we had to take it all home.
We once sailed with another friend recently,
mm-hmm.
and
we won't want to out him entirely.
He gave a different way that he does fish extenders. Their
kids love.
Yeah, his kids don't understand.
They think they're doing the fish extenders.
Yeah, so he just buys them stuff and puts it in their stuff for their family every day.
Like, oh, you need new flip flops? Guess what's going to show up on for day one in the fish extender? Flip flops.
So,
like, yeah. Pretty genius,
yeah.
Really. You get stuff you need, stuff you're going to buy them anyway. And they're excited because the kids get excited to go back to the room and see what they got. And it's like Santa every night.
And you can still, like, there's pixie dust stuff usually that you can also get involved in,
mm-hmm.
which you don't have to get those in return, but you can give the pixie dust.
Yeah.
So you can give stuff out if you want to give little things away, but if you're scared about what you're going to get back.
Or you don't want to carry a bunch of stuff home.
Yeah.
Because some people like water bottles, cups.
We got like a cup, like a plastic cup with a lid and a straw, like that they put like Halloween on the high seas on.
Like they customize it like, and it was nice.
One, it's not dishwasher safe.
Well,
so
okay,
one, it's not going to work for me. And then two, it's just really hard. Like you had to pack like socks and stuff in it in order to get it home because there's no room. So
it was a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So that's the gist. Disney Cruise Line is the only one that does fish extenders. They did... not outlaw it, but they did suspend it for a while during COVID because they didn't want you to go touching other people's
stuff. I can't believe it came back.
Me neither.
Because some of them are very large and they kind of go out into the hallway.
Sometimes we like walking around and looking at how large, which one's the largest that we can find.
And then I laugh. But we're going to talk about obstructing the hallways in the news, which is, I think, a good segue to the news. The news brought to you by backtothemouse.com. Go online, click there, check it out. Go check out all the stuff on backtothemouse.com. But here is the news for today. Michelle, Nassau set another record. They have broken their own record for the most passengers in port. Now the new record is from like March 13th, and it was 20,009 guests in Nassau. It included the Independence of the Seas, Sea Cloud Spirit, Carnival Paradise, Disney Wish, Carnival Liberty, Carnival Elation, and Vision of the Seas. 20,009 people in Nassau.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, there you go. And like, that's not even a Oasis class ship.
Nope.
Or Icon.
Nope.
Or like, it could have. So there's still room to go because they can have, what, 2 Oasis class ships there at a time? And they had none. How about that?
That's
20,009. So congratulations to Nassau, Bahamas, for being forward-thinking and doing the construction on their pier and really opening up their market. All right, on to the next news. Carnival banned certain scooters and strollers. That's the way people read it. They didn't ban scooters. They put a size limit on scooters and strollers. because many people can't fit their scooters and strollers through their cabin door. So now you're only allowed to take on scooters and strollers that can go into your cabin and be parked in your cabin. You cannot park them in the hallway, and it's for safety reasons. I mean, when the ships are rocking and you're walking down the hallway and there's a scooter parked there, it's hard to get around it sometimes. Also, for the housekeeping with their carts, there was times they could not get around a scooter parked in the hallway. So Carnival is now on a strict, you cannot park in the hallway for your scooter or your stroller. If your scooter or stroller does not fit through the door, guess what? You can rent one from Carnival. How about that?
I think every cruise line should allow you to rent them. I honestly think that's how it should work.
I think there should only be one standard thing.
It would be a lot less painful as well, like having them delivered to the certain place and your transportation has to get them there. And so.
And some of them are really big and some of them can go very fast. And you don't need a scooter that can go fast.
No.
On a cruise ship, because it's all pedestrian, walking, you're not covering lots of ground, there's tight turns, you really need a small scooter. Not that I'm a scooter expert. Same thing with strollers. You park in a double-wide stroller in the hallway, so no, Disney do not.
Well, Disney doesn't do that. They have specific places you park, like overnight. Like, you're supposed to park on, like, down by Enchanted Garden if you're on, like, the Dream or the Wish.
It's supposed to.
Right. And I know a lot of them do.
And I know people get grumpy when they are told to move it, but leave the hallways to be hallways. They're not parking lots.
Yeah.
So, but I totally agree with Carnival. I think that's safe. Same thing with fish extenders. They're getting too wide. They shouldn't be past the wall.
Doug is like a minimalist.
I am. I like my hallways clean and clear.
Really? So how's our house?
Well, that's, you know, different. All right. Anyway, Haiti.
Yep. One more piece of news.
Haiti is... Oh, we got two more. One is on the schedule. There's a surprise. All right. Oh, God. Haiti is making the news because, well, there's a coup, and there's all kinds of things going on in Haiti we won't get to, but cruise lines have all suspended visiting Haiti, which most notably is Royal Caribbean not visiting Labadee. So, Michelle, they've said 2 weeks right now for Labadee, but who knows how long it could really be.
Yeah, I think it's 10 to 14 days right now for Labadee. So Royal Caribbean's private peninsula is in Haiti. Labadee is the name of it. I feel like it's good for the cruise passengers to know this, because if it's on your itinerary, most of the time it's not your only thing you're visiting.
Right.
There are a couple cruises I know, like Royal Caribbean will do a 5-night one from like Florida and it just goes to Labadee. So unfortunately, you know, that could end up all at sea, or you end up at Nassau or somewhere else instead, maybe Mexico, maybe they just change itineraries completely. But it's good for cruise passengers to know that the cruise lines are going to keep you safe. I've had a couple clients ask about Labadee, you know, will they really be stopping there? And, you know, I let the cruise line handle that. Obviously, you can, if you're outside of final payment, you can always move your cruise, but cruise line's going to do what they think is best for the guests and the cruise safety. So I'm happy that they made this call with Labadee for now. There's been other times that they've suspended sailing to Labadee, so it's not brand new, but for this specific incident in the country, this is new. So we'll see how long it lasts. But once again, I think it's good for you to know that the cruise line does look out for you.
Yeah. They will have your best interests in mind with this. So all right. Let's move on to the last little bit of surprise news. A few weeks ago, we talked about how New York City was going to have some possible legislation impacting cruise ships because of noise and pollution and, quote, other disruptions. So this had to do with the traffic and the pollution in New York City. We're talking about Manhattan. Okay. The noise from the cruise ships. Yes, they are so noisy. But so they passed unanimously in the committee of the city council, I believe it was. And so now it requires cruise ships with shore power capability to use shore power. So that's what it boiled down to. Nothing to do with the actual traffic or anything like that. It's just to use shore power if they're capable is the key word. And not every ship has been capable, because it was outfitted with shore power in 2017, so a pretty early adopter. And Evidently, from what I've read, not many ships that are even outfitted with shore power can plug in there because they put one type of plug and other ships have a different type of plug. So someone's got to find the adapter or something. But it will be interesting to see if this really impacts anybody. So it's New York City. And there's a little bit of stuff about traffic, but it doesn't actually say any of what's needed to do other than a traffic study on the neighboring street. So, okay, a traffic study. But people that voted for it about how it's a great step towards righting historical wrongs. Like, yeah. Yes, less pollution if you use shore power, but now it's mandated if a ship can use it. And it's mostly Manhattan. I think Brooklyn does have it that it will affect, but not many major cruise lines are over there. So it's interesting. The Manhattan one serves Norwegian, Disney, Seabourn, Viking, Oceania, and National Geographic. So those are the cruise lines. And MSC occasionally. And so like MSC definitely has the wrong kind of plug. So there you go. New York City taking a stance to fix their pollution. Michelle, do you think this is going to quiet down? Because it cites the noise from the cruise ship engine from running. That's what they're after here. The noise pollution.
Yeah, this just doesn't make any sense because New York is so loud already.
Like,
it doesn't.
You don't hear the engine of the cruise ship going when you're on the cruise ship. When you're in port, it's quiet. Well, they're going
so slow and
Like, we're in port.
Yeah.
So I get the pollution from burning the diesel. That makes sense. But when they start talking about the noise pollution from the cruise ship, I have problems with what they actually... These people need to go on a cruise. All right. I need to wrap that up and we need to move on from the news. Let's get to the itineraries, Michelle. That was a long news segment. I apologize. So itineraries came out 2025. What are you excited about?
There's several things. I love summer. DCL summer. I love the variety.
You and Olaf.
Yes. I'm not going to do a Josh Gad impression because I feel like everyone does not deserve
Everybody
that.
Can hear in summer right. in their head right now. They
just visualize it because you do not want me to sing or talk about
it. It's like when somebody mentions It's a Small World, you automatically hear it in your head. You're welcome. And now they're hearing you're welcome.
And now they're, Moana. Yep. So, okay. Anyway, I love summer cruising with DCL because it's just so, the itineraries vary. Like most of the year, you get Bahamians, you get and Caribbean, right? Because that's most of the year. But in the summer, you get Europe, you get Alaska.
Australia.
Okay, yes. Our audience, I don't know.
Oh, that was the winter. Yeah, the rest of the year. Yeah. Australia now.
So anyway, Europe and Alaska, adding that into the mix and then varying those a little bit this year. Mm-hmm. There's some variation. So.
Yeah. So what highlights are we looking at here? Where are we starting? Alaska? Europe? Florida?
We can't do all three right now.
No, so I'm asking where you
want to start. Let's start with Alaska because we're going to be there this summer.
Yes.
On DCL. Facts. So we will look at Alaska. So a couple different ones, I guess, to highlight maybe. Mm-hmm. The Disney Wonder has a 9-night Alaskan cruise. Ooh. And it's, I would say... it's in July. So in my opinion, that's a little bit earlier. Like this exact sail date is about when, we sailed in August.
Yes,
for
we sailed in August. For the
yeah. So there's a couple to highlight here. So the 9-night, it goes to everywhere basically, except for Skagway, right?
Yeah. Add Sitka and Victoria. No Skagway though, but you get Icy Strait instead of Skagway. On the 7-night, let's talk about what the standard Alaskan cruise is.
Okay.
Is a 7-night Alaska cruise. You get the glacier viewing day, you get Skagway, you get Juneau and Ketchikan, and 2 days at sea. And then there's 2 or 3 of those week-long cruises where instead of Skagway, you get Icy Strait Point, which some people call the Castaway of the North. But it's not because every cruise line uses it. It's just
A
purpose-built pier, not out of town.
Right. We're headed there this summer.
Yes, so you'll get the full review. All right, so that's the standard. So then the 9-night, you tack on Sitka and Victoria.
Yeah. So the nine night, there's only one nine night. So if you want to go for nine nights, July 7th is your 2025 is your date to do that. Mm-hmm. Then there's an eight night, and that is September 15th,
yep.
I believe.
Yep.
Okay. And those are the only two of like the longer ones this year.
Yeah. In the eight night, you tack on Sitka. So that's your extra port over your seven night. And there's a ton of seven night dates.
Yeah.
Just a ton of them.
The one that like might work better for some people is over 4th of July, June 30th, 2025. That's mm-hmm. a seven night one. Mm-hmm. So that might be, the price may jump on that one. So yeah. I would say go ahead and book that one if you think you might want to do it.
The other price that might jump is the last one you're going to talk about.
The five night?
Yeah. That price yeah. can shoot up fast.
So we did the five night in 2017. It's a good way to see Alaska, like have a little bit of the experience.
We didn't have the time for anything else.
We didn't have the time. And then it also is obviously cheaper than a seven night or an eight night or a nine night.
Yes.
So
it's shorter.
Yeah. So we did the five night, like I said, in 2017. It was still a really good experience. I feel like we didn't quite get all the experience, though.
No.
And that's why we're going back again this summer.
But I feel like if that was the only Alaska cruise we ever did, it was fantastic. We saw whales. We saw eagles. We saw icebergs. We saw a glacier. It was fantastic.
And we saw characters in their Alaskan gear.
With a glacier in the
glacier.
Background.
I mean,
Disney on the glacier day, you're like, well, who's going to stand in line for characters all day? They have characters like the whole time you're seeing mm-hmm. the glacier. But they're up on the top deck, and the backdrop for the pictures is the stinking glacier.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
I hope my kids remember. I hope our kids remember that we did that, because they're going to have to do it again.
Good luck getting Alden in a picture.
Well, it's seven nights, so he has more time with his friends.
Yeah, all right. Where are we going next? Somewhere warmer?
Well, let's go to Europe, because...
Somewhere warmer.
Sure. Yeah. So, new this summer.
Yeah.
In 2025, the Fantasy is headed over there. So
people are really jazzed about that.
Yeah,
I think that's the
literally
right word,
the same
jazzed.
Ship as the Dream, except for a few minor differences.
It's
right,
it's the same thing.
I like the Fantasy better than the Dream. I like the color scheme. I like the
peacockness.
Yeah, and then the adult nightclubs also.
Yeah, I like the theming better. The right. Tube is better than Evolution. Evolution just feels like a nightclub.
It's fitting that it goes to Europe because it's like Europa.
I actually think that's worse.
Probably
because you have fake Europe in Europe. Then
maybe. Okay, anyway, the Fantasy is going to Europe. The Dream is there in 2024, this summer, right? And it's the second summer for the Dream.
For the Dream, yeah.
Yeah,
so we did the last summer of the Magic in 22, and the Dream went over in 23 and will be going again in 24.
Yeah.
Now the Fantasy is heading over, leaving the Dream back home, sadly, in Fort Lauderdale. So, well, sad for the Dream. It's just Fort Lauderdale. I mean,
yeah.
I'd rather be in Greece than Fort Lauderdale. No offense, Fort Lauderdale.
Sure.
Love you, but.
Sure.
All right, so what?
Let's do Greek Isles, because that's also one of my favorites.
That's the best.
Yeah. It was so great.
There's only a couple.
So there's four? I think there's four, if I'm looking at it right. There's four.
Four dates, yep. Yes. Three itineraries, four dates.
Yep, there's two that are longer. So we did a nine-night. So let's start with that one.
Yeah, the nine night. You want me to say it because you don't want to pronounce all these?
Yeah, we're just going to let Doug do it, and I'm not going to correct him. I'm just going to laugh at him.
Well, the first one's Crete. I'm not going to say the name of the city because I don't know how. And then you have the second one listed is Athens, but also can't pronounce it. Pyrrhus. And then it goes to Turkey this year. We didn't get to go to Turkey.
No.
We went to the home of the ancient Olympics, but they're going to Turkey, which is awesome. That you can check
off
a whole
Turkey
other...
They're going to Turkey in 2024
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, they're going this year. Yeah.
I know Joe
so
is
you
going.
Get to check off a whole other continent on your travels, right? Because it's Asia, technically. And then Santorini, and then Naples, and 3 days at sea. So... One thing to note, there's been some speed reductions in certain areas of Europe in the Mediterranean, so you can't cruise
starting
as
fast. This summer.
Yeah, and it kind of like was just thrown at them. So there's one less port day than we had on a nine night because they have to have another day of sea.
To travel slower. Yeah,
so no Mykonos on this itinerary either. So 12 nights.
That's one that I could... be okay with.
The 12-nighter?
No, the Mykonos. Yeah.
Yeah, it was so windy, and then, like, we weren't either rich enough or pretty enough to be there, or young enough. You gotta be
probably
one of those
all
three.
All of the above.
Correct. Yeah. We weren't any of those three.
It was so windy. That's where I almost lost my hat.
Like, in a couple years, our kids will be the right age to go to Mykonos.
I don't think they'll have any money, though.
They won't. They will not have the money for Mykonos. Greece overall is cheaper, except for Mykonos and Santorini, where it's like, what is happening here? All right, do you want to go through the 12 night and say those names?
Yeah, go for it.
I see how you're. Oh, there was also Naples, Italy. I failed to say that.
Yeah, that's it. Naples is awesome. That was one of my favorite ports. Yeah.
Yeah, because we didn't get to it on our first European cruise. Yeah. Naples is fantastic. All right. And you start from Rome and you end in Rome or Cetevecchia. So you get to see Rome, plan a couple days around it, right? 9 nights. Fantastic cruise. Then there's a 12 night Mediterranean cruise also from Cetevecchia, which is Rome. And it goes to Athens, which is Pyrrhus, Santorini, Turkey, Mykonos, Malta. I'm not going to say the name of the town. Malta's tiny. I didn't know there was towns. I just thought it was one island, right? Then it goes to Messina, Italy. I believe that is in the little island off the boot.
Capri? Wait, what?
No, Capri is Capri. I don't know. Anyway, it's I'll remember as soon as we're done. But and then Naples, and then 4 days at sea on your 12-night Mediterranean cruise. That is a lot of days at sea when you're so close to land the whole time.
But it's also very tiring.
It's kind of nice. So many ports. Yes. Exhausting. If you're actually, unless you're just doing beach days. Some people go on these Greek Isle cruises and just do beach days every day. And then other crazy people get up and do a private tour at 7:30 in the morning every time.
And that 12-night one is June 30th, so that's going to be over your 4th of July. So if you're looking to,
good point,
you know, take less days off work, there you go.
So you said there was two other
Greek
Isle. Yeah. And so there's 7-nighters leaving from Rome or Cetevecchia, and you go to Crete, you go to Athens, Mykonos, Naples, and 2 days at sea. And then that's your 2 7-nighters. And then there's some just regular Mediterranean cruises out of Barcelona. There's 1 7-night of note that's Barcelona ending in Rome. That would be one that I'd highly recommend. If you're not worried about doing Greece, you want to do the Mediterranean, this would be the one. 7 nights, Barcelona, you stop in Marseille, Genoa, Italy, Livorno, Italy. Livorno is Pisa and Florence. And then Naples, Italy, and then end in Rome. That would be an awesome cruise.
Yeah, because part of the adventure of Europe is you can be on a ship and you don't have to unpack every day, but you're getting to different places. Well, this would literally end you up in a different place.
Right. Totally different culture, everything. In Barcelona, a couple days there, a couple days in Rome. That's an amazing European vacation. Marseille would be fantastic. We haven't been to Genoa. That would be a very neat port to see. But Florence, one of my favorite ports we've ever been to. Okay, Michelle kind of gave me the maybe, sure. Florence is cool. Come on. You liked Florence.
The Pisa?
Not Pisa. Pisa, I said before, I was like, we're only going to look at this tower because you haven't seen it.
Right.
Pisa is Pisa. But Florence.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
You get to see the David. I mean, it's the Renaissance. It's still existing. Yes. Okay, Michelle, you go next.
Well, and then the fantasy stays in Europe for the rest of the summer, right? So Western Europe, Northern Europe, British Isles. That is also going to be happening on the Fantasy. The 3-night Belgium, there's a 3-night Belgium, a 3-night France.
And a 4-night Spain, a 5-night Spain, 5-night Spain. Those all go out of Southampton, which is basically London.
Mm-hmm. There's only one British Isle cruise.
Which I would love to do.
Right. I think that's on our list, you know, once the kids are gone. I don't want to rush that, though. So
no, they can stick around a while.
Because September's too busy for us to leave.
Yeah. But the British Isle cruise, 7 nights. You go to Cork, Ireland, Liverpool, England, up to Scotland, and then Portland, England. So you go basically around the British Isles back to Southampton. But the cool thing that you're seeing is these little 3 nights. I think they're more designed for
locals,
yeah, right?
Yeah, because it's just a day at sea and then one other town.
Yeah, it's like going from Port Canaveral to Nassau in a day at
sea.
Or
like how they did those cruises during COVID where Europe was sailing.
Yeah. Like, you go to France. Belgium would be cool. But, I mean, if you're in London and you want to go see Belgium, you can just take the train.
Right.
And that's way faster than a boat. This is because you want to go on a Disney cruise. Yeah. So I think it's really geared towards locals. The Spain ones are a little more intriguing because they're 4 and 5 nights long, like Bilbao, Spain, and other ones there. But Europe, just so many itineraries, they don't repeat much.
And then don't forget about the northern ones for the fjords.
Oh, yeah. There's 2 different northern Europe ones. Also going in and out of Southampton. So you go to Belgium and then Norway.
Netherlands. Oh, that one. That, I'm then thinking about northern Europe.
And then there's another one that is Belgium, Amsterdam, Sweden, Norway. So if you really want fjords, you want to go on August 10th. If you want to see different countries, you want to check off as many countries as you want, the 7-night European cruise on September 1st is calling your name. So lots of variations and options there, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. So we are big fans of cruising in Europe because, one, is a family of 5, if you don't already know this, it's hard to find rooms in Europe.
Some places have to get 3 rooms.
Yeah. So we like being on the ship, leaving our stuff, not unpacking, but still getting to see different destinations.
Right. Now, when our kids are in college, having 3 different rooms is in a hotel in a foreign country is not quite as daunting as, like, a 10-year-old, you know?
Yeah. And then also, you still get the regular cuisine that you're used to for dinner. Like, it's great. You can eat lunch.
Michelle likes ice.
I love ice.
That's why she likes to cruise in Europe.
I love to chew it. My dentist doesn't love me for that.
The worst thing you can do for your teeth. Not, I would say not brushing is the worst thing you can do, but that's not doing something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that kind of wraps up Europe. We'll see the Fantasy over there next summer.
Which one are we booking?
We're going to wait again till the last minute and book.
We don't have a clue because there's no way we go to Europe next summer because of all of Claire and Alden's stuff.
Yep. Dance team, cross country, college, maybe internship for Sam. Kids. So
maybe Sam will get an internship in the south of France.
No.
That's where their space program's headquartered.
That's too far away.
Or French Guiana in South America.
Nope.
Maybe we go there to visit. Nope. Okay. All right. Where are we going next?
Let's do the Bahamas because it's pretty normal. Because
it's awesome. The Bahamas are
the Wish is doing 3 and 4 nights like always from Port Canaveral. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Not like always. I mean, it's only been around for a couple years, but
that's all it does.
Anyway. And then we also have the Dream out of Fort Lauderdale.
I would like to point out 1 3-night itinerary on the Wish.
Yeah.
On August 1st, the 3 nights on the Wish, it goes Castaway and A Day at Sea. So that's kind of a cool, unique, one-off 3-night. August 1st, you don't have to go to Nassau. You just get to enjoy the ship, which people would think, oh, but you stay on the ship in Nassau and there's less people. Yeah, but they don't offer all the things. A true day at sea has all the activities going on. So there is some plus and minus to that. Okay, I'll shut up now.
So the Dream is sailing out of Fort Lauderdale. It's going to be doing 4 and 5 night cruises. There are several that go to both Castaway and Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point. So both of the private islands and not Nassau.
Right. That's pretty adventurous.
August 25th on the Dream, September 1st, 8th, and 15th on the Dream. All 4 nights.
Say those dates again. That's good. That's a good itinerary.
August 25th, September 1st, September 8th, September 15th.
Oh, the slowest time of year.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to get you to go.
Yeah.
They want you to book right after Labor Day.
It should be fairly inexpensive.
Inexpensive, but definitely make sure you get your trip insurance because peak hurricane season.
Yes. Same thing when I go back to talking about Labadee. Disney Cruise Line is not going to sail into a hurricane. They don't want to hurt their ship. Sorry, guys.
I don't know if they care about their passengers or their ship, but yeah. I know it's the ship.
So they're either going to sail away from it, and you're not going to hit all the itinerary you're supposed to have, or...
Or you might go somewhere better.
Or you're not going to sail at all, and they'll give you a refund.
Yeah.
You can't bank on either, though. If you're going to book during September, October, you need to just be ready to fly
even
with
August.
The punches. Yeah. Get insurance. Get insurance.
Well, you should always get insurance, but...
So then the Magic is going to sail from Port Canaveral on some days. There's going to be some days where there's 2 Disney ships in Port Canaveral.
That's going to be wacky.
And so they're going to use two terminals.
So the Magic is going to get like the generic like Princess Cruise Line port, right? They're not going to put the Wish at the generic one. It's going to be the Magic.
Yeah.
100%. Not that that's a reason not to book.
No.
Nobody books a cruise to see the terminal.
No.
Like, the less time you spend in a terminal, the better the cruise line is.
If you're looking for a terminal, then I wouldn't go to Alaska or Europe. Those aren't going to be, like, your favorite terminals ever.
I mean, if you've been in a convention center with chairs set up, then you've seen it.
Right.
Yeah.
So that kind of, it's just 3, 4, 5 nights for the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Okay. 3 different ships kind of going in and out of there.
All right. What about the Cruiser's Paradise known as the Caribbean?
So the Treasure, it's going to be their first summer, 2025 mm-hmm. summer. The Treasure will be sailing out of Port Canaveral. It's got 7 night itineraries east and west.
And it just alternates between those all summer. What is a typical itinerary on those?
So Western Caribbean, it would be Cozumel, Georgetown, Grand Cayman, Falmouth, Jamaica, and Castaway.
Which we did this last summer, and you can find our trip report on that exact itinerary.
Yep.
And but then, on the Fantasy, not the Treasure.
And then Eastern would be Tortola, St. Thomas, and Castaway.
And there's a few asterisks there probably. No, there's no asterisks.
Nope.
Interesting. But with Eastern, you get 3 days at sea. With Western, you only get 2 days at sea. So a lot of people like the Eastern because it has that extra day at sea and one less port. So the Caribbean has 2 kind of one-offs. Well, not really. Well, there's 1 one-off.
Okay,
and it's so, the Disney Magic.
So those were the Treasure dates. They're just literally doing 7 nights the whole
Nothing
time.
Nothing else.
Okay. So then we've got the Dream. It's going to be doing some Caribbean as well. It's going to be alternating with Bahamas. Okay.
Yeah.
So they've got some 5-night Western Caribbeans to Cozumel and Castaway.
That's, yeah, it's a 5-night. You hit up Cozumel.
June, July, August, Nassau. September. Okay.
And that's out of Fort Lauderdale.
Yep.
But
in
then
the new terminal. Very nice. We did enjoy that.
But once again, the less time you spend in a terminal, the better.
Right.
Then the one-off that's intriguing this next summer is July 25th on the Disney Magic out of Port Canaveral. It stops at British Islands, St. Kitts, Antigua. Sorry, I can't read. Puerto Rico. Lighthouse Point.
Did you say Agrula?
I did. Is that a vegetable?
I mean, this graphic is kind of, blurry, but...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been a long couple weeks.
Antigua.
Okay. Yeah, Antigua. And then it goes to Lookout Key and Castaway Key both. 10 nights on the Magic, 3 days at sea. So there's your Southern Caribbean. Not super Southern.
They called it Eastern.
Yeah, they don't even call it Eastern, but St. Kitts...
That's because it doesn't go to the ABC Islands.
Yeah, it gets close, though. It gets close. Yeah. It's the closest to a Southern.
So there is no Southern. Yeah, no Southern
but
this summer.
I'm going to be honest. Southern makes more sense in the winter.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's your variations. But the Treasure, the workhorse, the Wish is the workhorse doing the repetitive cruises. And the beauty of the repetitive cruises is you have date options.
Yeah, so like every Saturday, you're going to see the Treasure.
Yeah. So you don't have to like really work as hard to plan that.
Yeah.
But.
And same thing with the Wish. It's going to leave every Monday and every Friday. 4 nights on the Monday, 3 mm-hmm. nights on the Friday. So those are your, you can plan better. You don't really have to look at the calendar much because those are what it's doing.
What's your favorite out of all of these? Like if you could pick any one, money and time is not an option. 12-night Greek Isle?
Probably.
Even though we've already done Greek Isle?
I'd probably do
But it goes to a lot of places we didn't go. It goes to Turkey. Okay, that and... Sicily. That's the island. Sicily.
Yeah.
Oh, I almost didn't remember.
I think I'd probably still pick the forts. Like the...
Oh,
the 8-night, because we haven't done it.
Well, I didn't say the time of the year wasn't enough. Okay, yeah.
It's there. It's
it
in
doesn't,
its
It doesn't fit our calendar,
asked.
Though.
You
yeah, the fjords.
So.
Yeah, I like the British Isle one. I think I'd really like to do that one. See Ireland and the other parts of England. Maybe buy myself a kilt. Try to fit in with the locals. And the fjord one, out of the 2 fjord ones, would you like to do the one that's like Belgium, Norway,
there's
Norway, Norway, Norway? No, there's 2.
Nope, it's
because
not.
The other one goes to Norway.
But it doesn't have fjords.
As the title, because it does other things. Mm. I'd rather do the Northern Europe one than the fjord one because we're doing Alaska and we're going to see glaciers. The fjords really aren't glacier-oriented. It's just a different thing, right? But you get to see Norway once, Sweden, Amsterdam, and Belgium. So, and, like, the port for Belgium's, like, 45 minutes or an hour away from Brussels, just so you know. So that's why I just keep saying Belgium, because there's lots of options out of that port. Not all the excursions go to Brussels. There's lots of different things you can do. You can go look at tulips if you want to. Flowers and windmills. This is right there by Amsterdam. All right. Any other things you would like to do, Michelle?
No, I mean, we pointed out the ones that look the most interesting. So I feel like
we did.
We've done that. We've beat it already. We have.
The horse is yes, struggling.
We have literally circled everything that we thought was interesting.
Okay.
You keep searching for more.
I do, because I just love all the variations. But
the big thing is to book early with these.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, prices can change from day to day. Literally day to day. So if you're platinum, book platinum. If you're gold, book on gold.
When you say change day to day, you mean go up.
Right. Go up, rooms disappear.
And when
especially
can people
on those one-offs.
Book this?
So starting Monday, March 18th, Pearl Castaway Club members can book.
Which I'm sure are all our listeners.
Right. Tuesday, March 19th is platinum. Wednesday, March 20th is gold. Thursday, March 21st is silver. And then Friday, March 22nd is for the general public.
The sad, sad people that haven't had the joy and wonder of a Disney cruise yet. All the general public is future Castaway members. That's what they should say.
Yes.
They should list it as future Castaway members. Prospective cast. It's so sad that they put general public on their graphic.
Yeah.
Come on, Disney. Get your act together. Future Castaway members.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay. I'm done PRing for them.
And if you want to book and you don't have a travel agent, you can contact me, Michelle, at touringandcruises.com.
Touring and Cruises. And you spell out and, it's not an ampersand. That will not work. It's Touring and Cruises.
And that's the best way to get a hold of me is through email. Facebook, Instagram, those all go they get kind of ignored until I can get to them.
Yeah, because it's not as easy to organize.
I try to stay off social media while I'm working during the days. So
otherwise, working doesn't happen?
Right.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, there you go. If you have any questions about the itineraries, hit us up on social media. You can find us at Rope Drop on Deck on all of the things except...
No TikTok. Who has time for that?
People have time for... You know what? I'm glad we haven't worked real hard at building TikTok because, like, the government's going to take it away or something. I don't really understand what's happening. But we're not going to bother TikTok until we know for sure we can keep it.
Yep, that's why we haven't done it yet.
Yeah. So find us on social media at Rope Drop on Deck on all of the things. And then, like, share the show. That'd be great. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcast. For Michelle, I am Doug, and this has been another Rope Drop on Deck.